Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music.
It's a Rachmaninoff year, 2023, 150th year anniversary, so I just had to do another video with one of his fantastic piano pieces on the channel. So, the Prelude in D major, opus 23, number 4. I wanted to play this piece for quite some time, and I finally took the time to learn it. When I first read it through, I was a bit reluctant, because all the hand crossings that's required made it seem unnecessarily hard and a bit sadistic on the pianist. But once you figured out which hand go over and under, that's actually not a big problem anymore. And it's incredibly rewarding to play, because I think it's one of the most beautiful pieces in the Romantic repertoire. Let's see why. So Rachmaninoff has this way of writing for piano that seems uncomfortable at first glance, like these extreme leaps in the arpeggios, in the accompaniment, but it's actually carefully constructed to produce a fullness of the piano sound that's also tender and expressive. So it's always start with a bass note, get the fullness, and then kind of fill up the sound with these chord notes that's high above it. And they need to be really soft pianissimo. And then of course the melody enters, soaring melody. Like a big difference in dynamic level, this mezzo forte and the pianissimo. So, the melody is in kind of a low register for a melody, very resonant, and then the accompaniment, arpeggio, these notes, they're in close proximity, so it's why we need the hand crossings, and it's like a different conception of sound and timbre, because these extra notes, they breathe life into the sound at all times. So, we have the melody, and it's like growing outside of it with these extra notes. It's just beautiful. Now, apart from the sound and the timbre, there's one more important aspect to this music, and it's the pulse of it. Because the melody always has this long and calm note values on the first beat, like a half note, and it's one harmony, and then it changes on the third beat to another harmony that's almost always more dissonant and tense, and then it resolves back to a stable harmony on the first beat again. So it has this effect of like a very organic breathing in and out and just getting into this nice lilt. By the way, this chord that we get here, it's A7, the dominant, but with D as a pedal point, always a special character. Now we move to G major, it's the fourth, still with D in the bass. And this, a hint of a minor chord here, it's the first hint, like a premonition of what's about to come much more later. See, G major, and it's kind of going to the minor, but back. So, kind of E minor, still D in the bass, close to G major. So here it grows up to the high point of the melody, which is a minor chord, F sharp minor, really tense, just a normal diminished 7. And yeah, again, more hand crossings. And the deeper bass as well, the minor, the forte, same diminished, and back to F sharp minor, and now. Get this amazing heartache chord. So we're from F sharp minor, we're on the way back to D, and we've had D so much, so it's still very close, like that's where we're going. And if we would take G major instead, that would be the diatonic version, F sharp minor and then G major and D, all chords within D major. But of course Rachmaninoff substituted with a G minor instead of G major. And that's the secret behind that chord. It's a borrowed chord from the minor mode, so G minor to D. And it always has this powerful effect of mixing harmony from the minor mode within a major setting to get this effect of mixed emotions, like pain, the pain in the beauty, or missing or longing something maybe, or absence of something valuable. You can interpret all of that because the harmonic foundations is that. And also, yeah, you can take a lot of time here. It's like you can't take too much time almost. So let me show. Maybe that's on the border, but I think it works. Now this tense chord, it's a diminished again, but now it sounds more as the minor with the same B flat, even though it's a diminished. And it kind of goes down to a minor, so the melody follows this really nice arc. Every bar is like a breathing, organic feel, but it's also a long arc, reaching a high point and then going down. And here is like a low point, and then we get a final wave for two bars after this. So another amazing heartache chord. Now we can see clearly the bass is going to E, which is the 2, and then going to A, and then to D. So it's just an extended cadence. But it's a kind of E minor 7 with a double suspension that actually resolve on the third beat. So here he breaks this pattern because it's super dissonant on the first beat, and then it resolves. Again, a lot of time, and resolve to the A, which is actually, this is a dominant function, but it's an A11, a lot of extensions. And the left hand gets to play a little entry of melodic value, and resolves really nicely over two bars, this little. Thank you. and back to D. Now, if you look at the form of the piece, it's in AABA form. So think of the main melody as A part, and we get it three times throughout the piece, but with variations in the texture each time. So we get even more advanced romantic textures. And then there's a big B section that we'll come to later. It's a little bit different material. So here we get the second round, and now the melody is actually in the same position. Here in the middle. It's really the same to start with. Then it's a even more variation a bit later. But we have a new added top voice here in the right hand too. That's a melodic counterpoint. And it always comes after the first beat. The melody is on the beat, it's really stable and safe. And then it's like commenting on it with this amazing counterpoint. And again, you need a really big difference in the dynamic layer and the dynamic level within the hand. So let's just play the right hand, and I'll try to do the difference of the level, but also listen to the counterpoint. It's amazing. Kind of merge towards the end here. But then of course we have the left hand as well, who plays arpeggios. And we get this three against two all the time because the top voice is in triplets and the left hand is in eighth notes. And this has the effect of getting this floating quality. It's never really settled because it's always two different rhythms going against each other, but really soft in the background. So it's hard to do two levels in the right hand. Now we add a level with the left hand, or kind of two because it's the bass and extra chord notes. So it's just a lot of practice to with this sound balance after you get the positions right. So. Here is actually where we take a new path for the second time of the A section part. So the first time we go to the F sharp minor, you remember the big dramatic climax. Here it just goes back to D major, celebrating the D major instead. And we get the nice chromatic harmony in between. So it's kind of an augmented sixth chord, but going straight to the tonic. All the time this tense on the third beat. Now we reach some kind of G minor, a little bit more distant from home. Some kind of weird E in the bass. But we find this A in the bass now, and we have this G minor. It's like an E, half diminished over A. It's like we're approaching back home now with this resolve to A to D. So that's a little bit longer route to get home from the minor tonality here. Thank you. same kind of this last echo of a wave that comes. Even though it's a different harmony. Okay, back to D again. And here starts this kind of middle section. It's not so much a middle section because it's like the same mood and atmosphere with arpeggios and melody, but it's a little bit of new material. So maybe like an episode within the piece in between. So the melody sounds like this. And it's quicker note values. It's a little bit more free in the feeling, but the harmonic pulse is slower. We have one chord for two bars. And then we get this in a sequence, kind of building and moving between harmonies. But actually the melodic contour is very much connected to the main melody, but it's much quicker. So these long notes. And now the new melody. So it's the same contour in the beginning and then it continues upward. Okay, with the left hand we have triplets, a little bit more melodic value, in the especially the first one. Go to B minor. Go to A major, and we still get the same entry of the melody. Flip from A major to A minor, this relative pair going between, a special chromatic flavor. And reach E minor. And this is another of those magical moments. It's a little bit counterintuitive to do this ritardando and diminuendo when we're expanding, when we move upward with the melody and the left hand moves downward. It would feel natural to go forward there, but it's super effectful if you do this. So what I do is I write in a plus here to start from a higher point to get a bigger effect. So just big, really big rolled chords, bigger than what the hand can grasp, and a high melody. We still get the same melodic entry, keep the sequence going. So now from E minor, to G major, G minor again, this parallel pair, G major to G minor. So kind of starting to feel more like we're searching for something harmonically. And this is where the big build up starts. That's gonna take us all the way back to the final repeat of the main theme. So start soft here. So on, gonna keep going, just gonna mention a few things about this first. It's really emotional, passionate music, and you have this typical Rachmaninoff sound somehow when you just get these thick imposing chords and reaching one note higher each time, like a sequence is reaching a little bit higher, a little bit higher, and then continue. And also the bass goes down and we get this chromatic chords, this E half diminished to E flat, 7 is an augmented 6th chord again, and back to an E minor. Like, that's a Rachmaninoff move that just he does. Because, you know, this could go to... That would be going straight to D major. But he throws in this different place in the harmonic spectrum. And a little bit diminuendo, and then... We finally get the D major in the end, and the consequence of this whole section has been building this tension away from home, so then when we actually get home it feels more powerful. It's like if you love someone and haven't seen them in a long time and you actually get to do it, that's the feeling. Of course we get the same dissonant on the third beat. The pain in the beauty. Rolling chords again, bigger than the hand. So Rachmaninoff himself had really huge hands, so he might have been able to play these chords without much effort. Like, well, for us mortal pianists, we need to move the hands more. But I still think the point stands that they're supposed to feel stretched, because they're meant to feel like we're pushing the boundaries. It's more important than just one note or one normal chord. It's bigger than that, bigger than life. So here, going down to piano, I think that's new. Well, the other times we haven't been in a high dynamic before, but now we've been to a healthy mezzo forte. Now we go down again because we know what's coming. We know we're going to build again, so we need to prepare. The heartache, G minor. So this, here you really see these big chords. And I actually cheat here. I skip one of the notes. I don't play all of those. So I can roll it. Like, I still need to put in a lot of effort to do it. That's my reason. It's just marginally less of a big effort. But yeah. And here this melodic thing in the left hand gets more excited and expanded in the rhythm to 16th notes. By the way, we need to check out the texture here. So the melody is now an octave higher with big thick chords, and we have this extra starlight all the time answering. It's always a sixth above. Very resonant interval. It might look hard. It's actually not the biggest problem to find these notes, as long as you know where to jump. Because the right hand is not very many notes for the right hand, and it's used to play many notes. But the left hand has more notes to find, gets more melodic from the beginning. And these hairpins, I think they're meant for the left hand mostly, because it's melodic. Yeah, so just the whole texture. It's really like bathing in sound. Thank you. this final echo of a wave for two bars. It's in a way another kind of culmination of the music, because we get so deep and so high. And we find the A in the bass, the 11, dominant 11. Hollywood. Resolving. And here we, it's a deceptive cadence now. Instead of resolving to D, as we did the first time, we go to the minor, B minor. And we have a couple of bars left of the piece. It's a small coda, just one extra round, basically. Some kind of weird E in the bass, chromatically offset somehow, and the G minor, or here it's probably more of an E half diminished, because we have E in the bass a lot of time, and now again A in the bass. It's an extended cadence, dominant 6-4, a lot of explanation of the left hand. And here we get a final echo of the secondary melody. Really nice that it has a final say just in D major. And it gets a little bit thinner, the texture up here, but then a not so thin chord, but still in the high register only. And then go back down for the final ending, which is just a normal basic cadence. A7, but what you do here is take a lot of time on the eighth notes, some like that, because you can really hear how the sound blends on the A. That's the way to end this piece, I think. That's all I had to say about this piece. Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets, and the Patreon shoutout goes to Embroel and S. Holmes.